Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome again to the Wings Radio program, where we hope you will be uplifted and motivated by what you hear tonight. If you would like to join other listeners in the live chat room, go to www.wingsofprophecy.com and click on the live chat tab. Now here's your host, Glenda Lankus.
Hello, believers, and welcome to the Wings Radio Show. I'm your host, Glenda Lankus, and today we're going to be talking about faith burnout. I've had a number of emails lately from people who've just hit the end of their rope. They've just believed and believed and believed for a long time for something, and it hasn't come to pass, and or they've been through bad experiences, and maybe they blame God. And I also have just come through a period of burnout myself. And that's not uncommon for those of us who are workaholics, but it hasn't happened in a while. So I thought this would be a good time to talk about burnout. I want to start by reciting some of the symptoms of burnout that I found in an article from crosswalk.com on the internet. Difficulty sleeping or waking in the middle of the night and finding yourself unable to go back to sleep. Decreased concentration and being unable to finish things. Anger at those who are making demands of you. Self-criticism for putting up with the demands. Cynicism, negativity, and irritability. A sense of being besieged, which I think is another word for just feeling overwhelmed. Exploding easily at seemingly inconsequential things. Frequent headaches or stomach aches, or both. Changes in appetite resulting in weight loss or gain. Shortness of breath. Increased irritability. Men tend to get angry more, women tend to cry more. Social withdrawal. Depression. Feeling helpless. Any of that sound familiar? I can tell you I could answer yes to almost every single symptom when I found that list. I was like, okay. So let's talk about this. I remember in 2009 when I began, I was in the beginning of the wilderness journey that I wrote the book, the last one that I wrote in the book about. And every month, I was on unemployment at the beginning of it, and every month I had to believe God for a miracle for the rest of the money to come from somewhere miraculously so I could pay all my bills. And that was when I started on YouTube and everything, and I started making friends out there. And I remember all of us talking about, we felt like a rubber band that had been stretched to its limit and then stretched some more. And we were just like waiting to snap because we were just at the end of our rope. Everybody was losing everything. There were no jobs. People didn't have enough money. People were having to move in with their parents or relatives. I mean, everything financially in our world was just upside down. And, you know, if you've been used to being able to make a living and take care of yourself, which I was, and I believe many of you were, or take care of your family, it's a very difficult position to be put in. And there was something about just believing and believing and believing. When I came back here, you know, the Lord indicated to me that while I lived here, I would meet my husband. And I don't remember his exact words, but that I would meet my husband while I lived here. I thought that I would meet my husband here. But it was while I was here. But anyway, and I knew that he had promised me a home, and so I thought, well, maybe it will be here. Years ago, when I worked at Bank of America, I had a very kind-hearted boss. And one Christmas, Christmas season, he walked out and he laid a suede pouch on my desk, and he said, "Here, you can have this." And it was a red suede pouch, and inside it was a pewter ornament of a house, a beautiful house, like a beautiful house out in the country. And I knew in my heart when I saw that, that God was saying, don't worry, I'm going to bring you a house. I'm going to bring your home. And I sat there with tears rolling down my face. He didn't see it. He'd already walked back to his office. But I just sat there crying because it was God's sign to me. I still have that ornament. And I keep it in a special place to remind me that God's promises are always true. Even though we don't see them come, you know, they're not here just yet. You know, remember Abraham had to wait 25 years for Isaac, okay? Just because he said, I'm going to give you this or I'm going to give you that, doesn't mean it's going to be tomorrow. When I first got into my Christian walk with him, I thought it did. And when he said, I do have a husband for you, I thought the guy was going to show up that week, you know? I mean, I didn't know. I didn't know how all that worked then. Okay. So, you know, especially like back in 2009 and when things were so hard and when you've lost someone or you need a certain relationship to go back together or something is just bad, wrong, and you're just grieving in your soul, you do ask yourself, you know, why? Why did God do this or why didn't he do that? Why? Why did God allow this? And I think just everybody from unbeliever to devoted Christian has asked or will ask that question at some point or is asking it now. And for everybody, all of us, no matter where or when or how or why we ask that question, the answer is the same. There isn't one. We cannot answer for God. Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans I have for you. It doesn't say at the beginning, you. It wasn't written, you know the plans I have for you. It's he knows the plans he has for us. We don't always know that plan. Sometimes we're lucky and he gives us a little word or a little glimpse or something. But sometimes we just have to go on faith. We walk by faith, not by sight, right? We have to just trust that he does have a plan for us. And he does have it all worked out. He's God, y'all. He planned this entire universe. And it all worked perfectly together in the beginning before we messed it up. He knows what he's doing. He is God. He can be trusted. And his promises are true. I can promise you that myself. Because he's answered so many prayers for me and so many of the things he promised me that later on I would just pray for something and it might be 2 years later and it would show up. Romans 9:16-17. It does not, therefore, depend on man's desire or effort, but on God's mercy. For the Scripture says to Pharaoh, I raised you up for this very purpose, that I might display my power in you, that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. Pharaoh. Remember Pharaoh? I mean, his end was not so good. He looked pretty bad there at the end, y'all. And then the water came down on him and killed him and all his whole army. And this was after he just lost his firstborn, which was his pride and joy. But Pharaoh could have screamed at God all he wanted to and said, why? If he believed in God, which he didn't, but apparently. But he could have screamed at God all day long and said, why? Why did you allow this? Why are you doing this to me? But we have no right to ask that. He's God. He is God. All too often, though, and too easily, we blame God, believers and unbelievers. When it all goes some other way other than how we think it should go. You know, sometimes our faith gets tested because we have heard a prophecy spoken over our lives that is not a true prophecy from God. Remember, everything God does, Satan imitates. And so he will sow false prophets and he will sow false prophecies. And please, y'all, don't start sending me 1,000 emails saying, is this prophecy from God? If you've gotten a prophetic word from someone, you have to take that to God. I can't tell you that, okay? We don't want to base our life on any prophecy that we don't know for sure and have had, you know, confirmations or whatever has come from God, especially if that prophecy has come through another person. So we want to be real careful about that, y'all, because the tendency is, especially if it's something that you want, you know, and it plays to your emotions. And I hate to say this, but there are prophets who will play to your emotions. They know what you want to hear. And many prophets will tell you what they know you want to hear because they know that you will open your hand and release the money that they want to get from you. These are the ravening wolves that the Bible talks about. They're not interested in what is going to help you in your walk with Jesus. They are not interested in how bad your heart and your soul will hurt when that so-called prophecy does not come to pass. they are interested in getting your money. So they'll play to your emotions, they'll speak a false prophecy over you, and then you hang on to that, and then you blame God when it doesn't come to pass. But who's really to blame? If you believed a word that was sent by the devil, and you didn't try the spirits, and you believed it without question, you know, or you just you held God accountable for something Satan spoke, that's not right. We can't do that, y'all. We have to be more careful than that. We blame God, and we either turn and run away from Him, or we run to Him, blindly throwing punches. Picture a small child, even a teenager who doesn't get their way, or a child who becomes so frustrated with what they perceive as the circumstances of their situation, they run off from their mother into another room, or they run up to the leg of their father, blindly punching his leg. This child is most likely not getting their way because they have good parents, and a mother or father who knows best, because they are children, and they are often driven by emotion. They often respond with feet and fists. Both unbelievers and Christians can behave the same way. But we shouldn't, as Christians, behave like a child not getting their way. But some do, and some in their hurt will turn and run away from the church or close the book on God's word. And when you run away from God, there is no hope, y'all. There's no hope. And although, in a sense, their behavior might say otherwise, they're not children. They're adults. And as adults, as we are adults, we have responsibilities. We have accountability. We are accountable for our behavior, and we have a responsibility to God. Let's think about Job. Here's a man whose walk was righteous, so much so that he even interceded on behalf of his children just in case they had displeased the Lord in some way. But in the blink of an eye, his whole family, other than his wife, was taken away from him, and he lost all that he owned. How easily could Job have run away from God, crying and cursing, or even towards God, blindly throwing wild punches? Job didn't understand why these things were happening to him. He had a clear conscience. He didn't understand, but he didn't have to. He knew that God had the situation in hand, that God had him no matter what, and that his life was in God's hands, and God had formed him. And that's where he put his trust. He knew that his father knew best. How many people today find themselves in a situation similar to Job's? They lose someone or something that meant so much to them. Or maybe it's comparable to Job's situation. They lose everything and everyone. Or they lose their health, and they turn and run away from God or to Him, cursing and punching. What we sometimes fail to remember in reacting and responding in our emotional state, He is there when it all goes wrong. He's there to put it all right. He's there when you run away, and He's there waiting when you come back. I once knew a woman who lost her teenage son, and she screamed at God, and she said, "Where were you when my son died?" And He answered, and He said, "The same place I was when mine died." We are no longer children, y'all. We are His children, children of the Most High God. And are we going to, from time to time, find ourselves in a place where we want to act like a child and run away from God or punch the air? It's a natural reaction to pain and to disappointment. But as children of God, we're not supposed to be guided by our emotions. We live by faith. That's not to say it's always going to be an easy way to live. You know, I have a plaque on my wall that says, "Faith makes things possible, not easy." And that is the truth. 1 Timothy 6:11 and 12, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses." And that it says, fight the good fight. And it is a fight that you win, not by throwing punches, but by unclenching your hands and reaching out and up to Him and taking hold of His hand and trusting that your Father does know best. Years and years ago, someone very close to Jerry and I was hurt by members within their church. They were very devoted in church, taught in church. I mean, faith that was so strong it inspired everyone around them. It was a time of very deep hurt in that person's life. And no one in their church, although they knew what was going on, reached out to even offer condolence. Becoming disillusioned, this person gave up, not only on the church, but on God. Responded to the pain instead of responding to the promises. But what we have to do is not say, why didn't God do that then? But what can I do now? Not all the disciples could handle everything Jesus said, and they left him. Then Jesus said unto the 12, will you also go away? And then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. If you run out on God, where are you going to go? I have been there, y'all. I have felt like giving up more than once. Just in the last 5 years, several times. Really just wanted to give up. But the first question is, well, where are you going to go? You have the truth. Where are you going to go? You know. He has the truth. And the truth is in His word, in His promises. There is no place else to go unless you just want to go back out in the world and be destroyed with it. Some life that's going to be. You know, when Jesus was teaching His disciples, he pointed to the creation around them. Consider the lilies of the field. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed as one of these. And he talked about the sparrows. You know, that if there were two sparrows in a bush and one of them fell to the earth, that he would know. His father would know. That's how much he cares. That is clear evidence that no matter what is happening in your life, God has not abandoned you. God does not abandon the work of His own hands. Sometimes, you know, we're like the Israelites. We forget about all the miracles that He's done. And we get so caught up and focused on our pain. And y'all, I'm not just preaching to y'all today. I'm preaching to myself too, because I've been there too. And I'm just coming out of a period of very intense burnout. And I didn't understand what was happening. I didn't know if it was depression. I knew some of it was grief over my mom. I wasn't sure what all it was. And I did some research on the internet and found that multiple traumas, multiple traumatic experiences, which started happening, well, when I had the stroke, I went through several at one time. And I couldn't talk about all of them on the radio because there are some things that are just private that aren't, you know, I don't make public, but it was terrible. And there was about a 3-month period there where it was so bad. But here again, going through several traumatic experiences one after another, and then they're all compounded on you at one time. And you hadn't had a chance to deal with one before you're hit with the next one, and then the next one. It's like a triple punch. You know, bam, 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 and you kind of sink to the floor, shaking your head going, what just happened? So, I'm coming out of that. Now that I realize what it is, I know kind of how to deal with it. I was doing research to try to figure out how to deal with it, and I was getting these emails from people going, you know, I just can't do this anymore. I can't, you know, go on. I can't keep believing. I can't deal with this pain in my life or whatever. And my heart just breaks because I so know what that feels like to be there. Maybe a different kind of pain, but pain is pain. And grief is grief. But I think sometimes because we're traveling through that dry desert and we're in the heat, you know, it feels like being in a pressure cooker. I think that we forget about the manna that God just produced for us, or we forget that, you know, He's leading us with that pillar of fire at night, and He's telling us when to move and when to stand still. I think we forget about the miracles that we constantly see, and we focus in on what's hurting us and what's painful. And whatever life is like a camera, whatever you focus on becomes bigger and bigger and bigger in your mind and your heart. That's why we're told to focus on Jesus. That's why we're told to focus on the Word. Because the Word has got enough power to drive everything else out. And Sometimes we want something so badly that it becomes an idol to us. You know, I could sit here every day in this rented place and think about how badly I want a home and how many years I've been believing for that, right? But if I do that, what's that going to accomplish? Nothing, except it's going to accomplish idolatry in my heart. I'm going to be constantly focused on why don't I have a house instead of focusing on all the blessings that I have because I serve the Lord God. And He graces me with peace every day and with good health and with the great privilege of speaking to you all. We need to focus on what is good, not what is bad. Even though what is bad may be very large and grieving us horribly. And sometimes it does. Sometimes we just need to sit and cry for a while. But we do need to be careful that whatever we are asking God for and believing for has not become an idol in our life. That it has not become so big that it now overshadows everything else. And it makes all that is good appear like it's in darkness, for we can't see it anymore. Has it snuck in and taken God's place? Is it so big now that you say, okay, Lord, if you don't do this for me, that's it. I am done. I'm just done. Don't do that, y'all. He's the only one that has the words of life. If you run from Him, there is no hope. Are you so frustrated that you want to take things into your own hands because God hasn't answered that big prayer? Maybe you're believing for a mate and God hasn't brought you a mate, so you're just going to go out and find somebody on your own. That's a real dangerous thing to do. Real dangerous. And one I don't recommend. You know, we really cannot afford to burn out now, y'all. Far better and far worse is coming than what we see now. And the rewards are so great to those who endure to the end, or until Jesus calls us home. You know, I don't know if y'all listen to Jonathan Cahn, but he is an amazing teacher. He's the one who wrote The Harbinger and The Mystery of the Shemitah. Well, the Shemitah, we're in the Shemitah year, I guess, and he said to watch two dates in 2015, 9/14 and 9/24, I believe. And he talked about, on this one CD I have by him, he talked about The Mystery of the Shemitah, and how every 7 years for all these, for just decades, every 7 years that something would happen. You know, that Wall Street would have a crash or this or that. And that it's all pointing towards that. And it's happening, you know, in these Shemitah times. So I'm really wondering what 2015 is going to bring, honestly. And, you know, you look at that and you're kind of, you wonder, and at the same time you're kind of scared to even know, but because one of those Shemitahs was the crash that started the recession in 2007. Anyway, whatever we can do today for even one person, if we can encourage just one person today, help them to hang on a little longer, then we have served Him and we have been like Him while we are here. And we've shown one person what He is like. We have to take our minds off ourselves, y'all, and reach out to this dying and lost world. Because soon we're going to be out of time. And those who have not found Him, it's going to be too late for so many. When all the destruction begins, it will be too late. I want to pray for y'all tonight, especially for all of those who are feeling discouraged, for those who are going through hard times. Lord God, we lift up Your mighty name this day. In all of heaven and earth, there is not another one like You. We pray that Your kingdom would come quickly, and we pray that Your will alone would be done on earth as it is in heaven. We thank You, Father, for Your daily bread this day. And we know, Lord, that we can count on You to always provide that bread. Feed our spirits, Lord. Nothing else matters if our spirit is starving for You. Help us to forgive others, Lord, all who have hurt us or done badly by us, and help us to not be discouraged that Satan landed a fiery dart here and there while we weren't looking. For we know that You are a God of absolute justice, and no debt will go unpaid in the end. And help others to forgive us, Lord, because we're not perfect, and You know better than anyone how perfect we're not. I pray, Father, you would look down with pity upon the sorrows of your servants and the griefs that they go through now. Remember us in mercy, Lord God. Give us patience. Comfort us in your goodness, Lord. I pray that you would lift up your countenance upon us and give us peace. Help us, Lord Jesus, to make you our greatest joy, our greatest comfort, and all that matters in the end. Help us to love you the way you created us to love you. Thank you for reminding us of your amazing beauty by surrounding us with beauty here on earth. And help us to remember, Lord, even when we are in darkness, in pain, or grieving a loss. We pray for all those who are ill tonight, Lord, all those who are in need, those who have no shelter to call home, those who sit alone, and those without any hope in their hearts. I pray that your glorious light would shine on them and that your love would surround them in a warm embrace, Lord. We pray for all our unsaved loved ones, Lord. We lift them up to you now. We pray, Father, that you would help them to get free of addictions. Help them to get free of any evil habits that they have, Lord God. Help them to get free of alcohol, drugs, anything that is going on in their lives that is displeasing to you, Lord God. I pray, Father, that they would come to know you and accept your amazing sacrifice so their sins may be forgiven and they can be in heaven with all of us. I pray for our friend Scott, Lord God, and his mom, who's been diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. Father, I just pray that you would give her every comfort and every mercy, Lord God, if it is your will to take her home. If it is not your will that she leave the earth at this time, Father, then I command that cancer to leave her body in Jesus' mighty name. And I command it to go immediately into the abyss in Jesus' name. I pray for my friend Scott, Lord God, as he stands over her and stays with her, that you would give him great strength, Lord, that you would give him revelation through this experience, that you would give him endurance, Lord God, and that you would help him to take a deep breath, remember that you are God, and to deal with the pain, Lord. I pray that you would carry his burden of pain. I lift up Kelsey to you, Lord God, and I ask you, Father, to drive the kidney disease from her body completely. In the name of Jesus, I command it to leave Kelsey's body and go immediately into the abyss in Jesus' name. And I pray, Father, that you would create two brand new, perfectly normal kidneys in her in Jesus' mighty name so that she might live out her life, Lord. She's such a little bright spirit. Help us to remember, Father, that our priority is always our relationship with you, the only true and living God. And help us to release our cares to you when they become too much for us to carry. May we never be too busy or too proud to bow down and cry out for your mercy when we feel overwhelmed with troubles, with depression, or with grief. Thank you so much for making us your own, for making a path to heaven for us, for sending Jesus. We can't wait to come home. In Jesus' name, I ask for a blessing on every listener, Lord. Amen. I pray that this show has been a blessing to you. And if you're going through discouraging times, I pray that it uplifts your spirit and that the words will come up into your spirit again and again as God lifts you and helps you to walk through each day. God bless you. Thanks for listening. Have a great week.
Thank you so much for tuning in to hear Glenda Linkous on Wings Radio tonight. We hope that you have been encouraged and inspired in your daily walk with Christ. You can find more of Glenda's talks on her YouTube channel, Texas Author and the Number One. You can contact Glenda by email at wingsofprophecy@gmail.com. or by mail at Glenda Linkous, P.O. Box 127, Princeton, Texas, 75407. Wings Radio is a non-denominational program and is not affiliated with any church or nonprofit organization.